Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of John. It's chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. It's one that I need to listen to quite a bit. Calm down and just enjoy the moment sometimes. My wife can tell you all about that. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with fragrance of perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why has this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He had said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for your word and how it points us to hope, even in the midst of tension. Hope even in the midst of death. Hope that reminds us you are the source of resurrection in our lives and everlasting. Father, thank you, above all, for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. There are days in which we experience joy and sorrow, happiness and sadness, all in the same day. Have you encountered that in a day? Something that is frustrating in the morning, by the time the afternoon rolls around, it still may be frustrating, but maybe you'll move on to something else that will provide joy or kind of provide some happiness for you that day. For us, just living involves that kind of tension. And as Christians, there is a tension that we experience also within ourselves. So not only are we experiencing the tension within the world, but we experience a tension as we are stretched and encouraged to grow by our Maker. There's a story that was relayed to me by a colleague of that kind of tension, that kind of day filled with joy and also sorrow for a family near Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You see, there was an accident outside of a small town near Milwaukee, and three young men were killed in a head-on collision. The following Saturday, after that accident, one of the families involved had a funeral for one son in the morning and a wedding for another son that afternoon. They felt the son who had been killed would not want his brother's wedding to be postponed on his account. And there's one more thing also. The son that was buried was going to be the best man at his brother's wedding. An extreme example, certainly, of the tension in life that exists literally between life and death, but one that we hear of. Those are things that happen in the world. And our faith, if we have been open to how God is moving inside of us, if we have been truly trusting in God And if we have said that simple prayer, Lord, here I am, and they really meant it, those tensions that we experience in the world, while they can still be traumatic, they still be draining and still take something out of us, we understand that God is still at work and still present. Sometimes we're holding on to that with both hands, aren't we? Maybe just on our fingertips. But if we're holding on to that, we have that hope, then my friends, no matter what news comes our way, no matter what challenges, we know we can still count on God because He loves us and is at work. There was a tension that was referenced also in the scripture passage today, and it was about life and death also. Jesus has been very active leading up to this gathering in this home. And there has been one incident in particular that caught the eye of a lot of people. It was kind of a simple thing. All he did was raise somebody from the dead. You know, I mean, just another afternoon for Jesus. Okay, what's next on my itinerary? What do I have to do now? Lazarus had died. And Jesus raised him from the dead. Now, you would think that people would be pretty happy about that and excited about that. But we understand that leading up to this particular scripture passage today, there are individuals who were in positions of power and authority that were not pleased. Because what was happening is Jesus was saying, while you may think that you have power and authority, true power and authority can only come from God. And I'm going to show you that by feeding the hungry, by clothing the naked, by raising the dead, by caring about the poor, and on and on and on. Jesus is redefining what true power is. True power is shown in humility, is shown in love, and loving one another, and loving God first. There were a lot of people that were unhappy with Jesus. And there was this slow but sure drumbeat starting. We have to get rid of them. You know, on this Lenten journey, we are getting closer and closer to the cross. But I think with this story today, you could say we're probably in the shadow of the cross. This idea of what was to happen comes to the forefront of our minds. An extraordinary gathering of individuals here. There was a zealot, a religious zealot. There was a tax collector. There was a guy who'd been raised from the dead. There were sisters, different in personality, but both who loved Jesus. And in that gathering, we can understand one truth about what the church is to be. It is a gathering of anyone and all people that seek a closer relationship with God. So anyone, absolutely anyone who comes through those doors, who comes to those doors, is going to be welcome. This was a diverse gathering of individuals. In fact, probably some individuals that didn't always like each other, that maybe were even uncomfortable about being in that gathering. Have you ever gone to a party that you really didn't want to go to? Have you ever drug apart your person, maybe they're next to you right now, to a party that they didn't want to go to? Even stronger response. And at some point in that gathering, you just get that look that only both of you know. And sometimes it's accompanied with this. I'm out of here with you or without you. I'll see you back home. I'm gone. There was that kind of tension in this gathering. And it only increased. Mary, who loved Jesus. Mary, who knew Jesus. Mary, who Jesus knew loved him, did something that was extraordinary. She took something that was costly, that would bring a lot of money if it was sold. And she was so excited about his presence. And she was so enthusiastic about being with Jesus that she didn't care what anybody else thought. She said, "Jesus, this is for you." She let down her hair. Something I can't even imagine anymore, but she let down her hair. Anytime there's one of these passages in the Bible that, you know, I'm inevitably going to be preaching on, and there's that part of it, and I say it, I have to go ahead and offer that because I know some of you are looking up there. You can't really imagine, so just imagine right now, just long flowing hair. But this is a single woman. This is a single woman, okay, single man. And this was something that was not done, all right, in proper circles. She didn't care. After anointing his feet with that costly offering, just pouring herself out, also not only by what she offered, but by her very self, falling at his feet, wiping his feet with her hair. The response to that, you would think, would be positive as well, would be touching. There'd be this emotional groundswell of people seeing this person literally pouring out everything that they had, not only that ointment, but their entire lives before Jesus. But that's not necessarily the case. "Hey, boss," Judas, good old Judas. "Hey, boss, you know, we could really help a lot of people. That could go for a lot of money. And listen, don't we care about the poor?" There is a commentary within this story in some study Bibles that's actually bracketed, saying to anybody who's reading this, Judas didn't care about the poor. Just in case we're missing that point. They wanted to hammer it home. Judas could care less about the poor. What he cared about was himself. What he cared about was what he felt power was. Earthly power, wealth, control of others. Certainly not just abandoning yourself in a group of individuals and laying down in front of Jesus and offering your life. Certainly not that. That's not faith was to Judas. And Jesus says something that's extraordinary here. Jesus says, "You're going to have the poor with you always, but you won't always have me." Now, we can't misinterpret that by saying Jesus said, "Don't worry about the poor, they're always going to be around." A better way of saying it is, you are always going to be with the poor. In other words, Jesus was a GPS for people, a spiritual compass, pointing people in the direction that they should be heading. You're going to be living with the poor. That should say something to you about what you should be doing. The poor in spirit, the poor economically, the poor in health, You're going to be amongst all of them. You might be one of them. So that should be a focus of what you do, of how you reach out, of how you share love, of how you're a channel of grace, of how you are pointing towards hope, even in the tension of life and death. Jesus wasn't saying, forget the poor. Jesus was saying, that's an essential part of who we are. It defines us as the church. We will always struggle with just how to use our resources. And there will be those that not only in their families, in their households, but in the household of God, struggle with how to use the resources that we have. As long as we are focused on God and building His kingdom, as long as we are willing to be pointed in that direction and to be receiving all that is laid before us by God, then I think we're going to be okay. There's this phrase that I like, and it references this gathering, this story of Jesus and all these individuals, this diverse group of individuals. So long as Jesus is the honored guest and the focus of the party, the church will live out its life as those called to follow Him. Good, isn't it? That tension of Lazarus being raised from the dead, having taken off his burial clothes, met by that fragrance of that incredible, humble offering of Mary, met by that self-serving statement of Judas. All of those things swirling around who? Jesus. So it is in our life together at times. All sorts of different opinions. All sorts of things that are shared. Coming from different places. Coming from different backgrounds. Dealing with different things. And yet, if we keep Jesus at the center, we're going to be okay. Lamar Williamson, a theologian and pastor, writes this statement. What the evangelist, John, wishes readers to hear in Jesus' words is the beauty of uncalculating love and its importance as a mark of true discipleship. Uncalculating love. Love that is not expecting anything in return. See what I'm saying? Love where we aren't thinking, well, if I do this, then I'm going to get that. But love that is just freely offered, unconditionally offered, and offered with abandon sometimes, not caring what anyone else thinks, but only and always focused on Jesus. Living, working, evangelizing, forming the church, and celebrating the presence of the Lord do take priority. For if that is rightly done, all in need will be served. Where's our priority? Amidst all the things that are swirling around in your mind and your heart right now, individually, what is your priority? Who is your focus? That's something that we consider as Christians. Amidst all the things that go on, and amidst all the good work, and amidst all the challenges within our body of Christ, where is our focus? We know the answer. And we know individually, and it's a church where our focus should be. And not to be pulled in this direction or that direction, but rather be focusing on the risen Savior, the hope of the world, and our namesake. If we call ourselves Christians, that is our namesake. And so we follow His example of love and grace. Where is your focus today? Take a few moments and just consider maybe how you've been distracted from God. Consider maybe how God hasn't been a priority. If those things are happening, that's okay. God's calling each of us back into an even more intimate and powerful and nurturing relationship with Him. Even amidst all the tensions that exist between life and death in our world and in our very hearts, even amidst our spiritual struggles, God is calling us back home. Join with me in prayer.